his name this morning. It's good to be here at Providence. We bring greetings from Hepburn Street. Come visit us sometime. We enjoy visitors. But it is good to be here. I know I've been inspired already, especially the two devotionals we've just heard. And I do seek an interest in your prayers as I bring a message this morning. The title of my message this morning is Clay in the Hands of the Potter. I thought it was interesting. We just got done reading a verse about this potter. And like Brother Rodo just read a verse in Isaiah 64, verse 8. But thou, O Lord, thou art the Father. We are the clay, and thou art the potter. We are the work of thy hand. I'd like to talk a little bit about the potter as it applies to us. We sing that familiar song sometime. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. I'm not sure what goes through your mind when you sing that verse of song. Every time I sing that verse, I think of a potter and a lump of clay. I don't know a lot about pottery, and I don't know a lot about pottery, but I did happen to watch a potter make a vessel out of clay. And I'm sure you have done as well, but it's interesting as he pulled a lump of clay, a block of clay off the shelf, and he sat it there on his wheel, and he began to turn the wheel, and as the wheel spun, he took his hands and started to mold and shape that lump of clay. And as that wheel spun faster and faster, he moved and worked the clay. And as he was working the clay, and as that clay was spinning very fast, he would work it with his hands, and he was shaping a vessel. And then he would twist his hands this way and that way, and weaving in and out, and just when he was done, he had a beautiful looking vessel. This morning, like I just read in Isaiah 64, verse 8, it says, but thou, O Lord, thou art the Father. Thou art our Father, we are the clay. Thou art the potter, the work of thy hand. I'd like to invite you to turn to Jeremiah 18. I'd like to look a little bit at the life of Jeremiah this morning. A little glimpse of his life. But we have in chapter 18, we have Jeremiah, got the Lord telling Jeremiah, he said, go down to the potter's house, because there I want to teach you an object lesson. And so we have verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. There where I will cause thee to hear my words. And then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel which he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, which seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, the clay is in the potter's hand. So are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. And what instinct shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I pronounce turn from the evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought I do unto them. And what instinct shall I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight that obey not my voice, then will I repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. I will just cease reading there. Anyhow, begin the couple verses I read. We have Jeremiah going down to this potter's house. And sure enough, The potter is there. He's making this vessel. And he's turning the working of the wheel. He's making this lump of clay, turning it into a vessel. Anyway, well, it says it was marred, so he takes it and lumps it back into a lump again and reworks it again. Started all over again. It was the work of a potter. What was God trying to get across to Jeremiah? I believe what God wanted Jeremiah to do is to go tell the people of Judah of the coming judgment unless they repent of their sins and of their ways. And I think, and we know, if we would know the condition Israel was here, or Judah was here at this time, they were far from God, and God wanted to use Jeremiah to bring them a message. But I also think that God wanted to get across to Jeremiah and to get Jeremiah to realize that behind this Israel, or behind this nation of Judah, there was a God that was still in control of them. Even though they had turned their backs on God, even though they were living in sin. And he wanted Jeremiah to realize and tell, he wanted Jeremiah to take that message to his people, to the people, and get the people to realize that beyond all this, there is the potter God out there. There's God that is still in control. And he is not pleased the way these people are living their lives. And what God wanted them to see is that he wanted to get them and put their lives on that potter wheel so God could work in their lives and show them where they have done wrong and turn their lives around. That's what this object lesson was for Jeremiah to see, that behind this lump of clay was there was a God. I think God also wanted Jeremiah to see how great and sovereign he really was. And he wanted Jeremiah to take this message to the people. it's been a while here now, but I've been reading through the book of Jeremiah, and God called him to be a prophet. And God wanted Jeremiah, and you just, read through the book of Jeremiah. That was his calling from God. God, he had to take that message from God and take it to the people and tell the people what God wanted them to hear. And it was a tough task because people of Israel, the people of Judah, were far from God. They have apostatized from God. They were living in idolatry and worshiping idols. And these were God's special people who have disobeyed him. God wanted Jeremiah to be a prophet and take them the message he wanted them to hear. So I'd like to turn back to chapter 1 of Jeremiah. And I'm sure there was many times in Jeremiah's life, he probably thought so many times he was like that clay on the working wheel. And now as God was working through his life and going around and around and having God molding and shaping him for what God wanted him to do, shaping him for his work. What we have here, I've just been inspired as I read a couple of these verses in chapter 1. I'll start reading at verse 4 here, chapter 1. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee as a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, which was Jeremiah, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee that thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put words in thy mouth. See, I have set thee this day to set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, and to build and to plant. This is about how God called Jeremiah for this special work. I guess what stood out to me when God came to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, I need you. I need you. I have a work for you to do. You need to be my prophet. You need to go tell the people. And what stood out to me is that in verse 5, he says, before I formed you, thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you were born, or came forth out of the womb, I knew you. And I have appointed you to be a prophet, to do my work. You know, that really stood out to me. And there again, it gets our minds going to our great God, which we heard about already this morning. We serve a great God this morning who's great and all-knowing. He knows all about us, even before we were born or created. Isn't that wonderful this morning? And that he has a special plan for us. Isn't that wonderful? Each one of you that are here this morning, before you even were born, God knew you. And before you even were created, God knew you. And this morning, God has a special plan for each one. Just like he did there in Jeremiah. That's what he has for us today. He has a work for us to do. Isn't that wonderful? And what God wants us to do as the potter, he wants to do is take us and put us on the wheel and turn us and with his hand shape us into a useful vessel for him. That's what God wants for each one of us. And what impresses me about pottery is that before you start, all it is a lump of clay. And at the end, when the potter is done making that vessel, there it is. He just took that lump of clay and he formed it and shaped it and molded it and spun it and whatever he takes, whatever he needs to do. And there it is. It's the finished product. And that's what God, you know, really inside of God, all we are is a lump of clay. But when we allow God and when we put our eyes on the working wheel and let God work us and mold us and shape us, we can be a beautiful vessel for him. So this morning, how are you living your lives? Are you just a lump of clay? Are you allowing God to work in your life day in and day out, working and molding and shaping you so you can be useful for him? I trust that you are. I trust that you are. God called Jeremiah here in verse 5. I have chosen you. And he says, before I knew you. And the Amplified says, I have chosen you for my chosen instrument. And I just love that. My chosen instrument. A work. A chosen instrument for his work. Just, dear ones, this morning, that's what God is doing for each one of us. God, the master potter, took clay and formed man with a prosperous and a powerful result in mind. God has a plan for your life. God has created you for a reason. You're not a mistake this morning, dear ones. You're not. There's a reason why God created you. And what God wants you to resign or give your will over to him. Let him mold and make you what he wants for you. And that we would ask him to mold and make us after his will. Going on, moving on, Jeremiah in verse 6. Sounds so human, doesn't he? Jeremiah then said, oh, Lord, God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And this morning, Jeremiah thought he was too young and could not be a prophet or could not serve where God wanted him to serve. Does this sound familiar when God calls us? When God says, listen, I need you for my work. I want you to go here, or I want you to do this. I know my first... I feel I just can just connect with Jeremiah here. So I want to pull back and say, no, Lord, not me. I'm not qualified enough to do that. Or I just don't have that gift. Or we can go down that road. Jeremiah thought he was too young and inexperienced to be God's spokesman to the world. We too can feel so inexperienced, too young, or we lack self-confidence when God calls us. We feel... we have inadequate ability or training or experience. Jeremiah said, no, Lord, I'm too young. Or I can't. Yes, I'm too young. I cannot speak, for I'm a child. What did God say to him in verse 7? Don't say, oh Lord, or don't say, I'm a child. For thou shalt go to all that I have sent thee, and whither I command thee, thou shalt speak. And Jeremiah, God is saying, Jeremiah, don't say this, that you're a child. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you the words to say. Don't be afraid. I'll be with you. And I'm going to deliver you. In verse 9, what did God do? What did the Lord do for Jeremiah? He put forth his hands and he touched his mouth and said, and the Lord said unto behold, I have put words in thy mouth. Dear ones, this morning we're not alone where God has called us to serve. We're not alone. Let's get our vessel and let's let God allow us to make us and use us where God wants us to be used. We're not alone. God is with us every step of the way. God touched Jeremiah's mouth and put words for him to speak. Whatever the Lord calls us to do, whether we have received a direct call from God, like Jeremiah did or not, remember the Lord is with us. He will mold and shape you for what he wants us to be. It's like being on the potter wheel this morning. It's like allowing God, the master potter, to shaping our lives and molding and shaping us. So we can be a useful vessel for him. That's what God's desire for each one of us. And God calls us many ways today, dear ones, this morning. Many of us are parents this morning. And God calls us. And God, if God gave you children this morning, you have a special calling. And I have to think, do we realize, parents, the seriousness of that calling is to train and teach our children and to be there for them. Train and teach them as they grow up that they would choose to follow him. That's a high calling for us as parents. Do we realize that this morning? I had to think of, as I was talking about pottery, and I was thinking as we as parents, we're like the potter and in molding and shaping our children's lives. You know, we have our children's lives. They come when they're babies. We train and teach. We mold and shape their lives to when they reach the age of accountability, that they would choose to follow God, and that they would, as they leave home and get married, that they would be another useful vessel for him. That's our calling this morning. But there's many other callings God has calls us to. It can be just a matter of serving in the church here. It was mentioned in the new Sunday school year. It takes superintendents. It takes Sunday school teachers. These are calling from God. Brothers and sisters, dig in and serve. That's what God wants this morning. It might be something small. It might be something small as seems small in the background, seems unnoticeable. God called you for it. Let's do it. Let's do it with a will and do our best. Did God promise root of ease for Jeremiah here? Did God say that, okay, now that if I'm going to touch your mouth, and you're going to go out, you're going to say what I'm going to have to say, and everything's going to be fine? Well, if you read through the book of Jeremiah and study into the life of Jeremiah, it was a life of ease. And so many times, as you read through the book of Jeremiah, the Lord would come to Jeremiah and says, here's a word from the Lord. Go tell the people this. And Jeremiah would have to go and tell the people. Was it a hard task? Well, yes, God gave him the words to say. All he had to do is take that message to the people. So, yes, God touched his mouth. God gave him the words to say, but these were words that the people did not want to hear. So many times, when Jeremiah had this message, he would take that message to the people, what God wanted him to do. But it was not what the people wanted to hear. It was a message about their evil ways. It was a message about that the sin they were living, the sin lives they were living, their idol worship. And Jeremiah would plead with them and say, this is a message from the Lord that you need to turn from your evil ways. You need to repent. And so many times the people would say, no, they didn't want to hear a message like that. And And so very many times Jeremiah was treated very cruelly. He was hated, and he had to spend many times in prison. Jeremiah would warn them, if you don't repent of your ways, about the judgment that was coming. But he would plead with them, but just repent and turn your lives over to the Lord. I like to pull a few familiar accounts. I'm sure I'm missing some, but over in Jeremiah 36, God told Jeremiah to write his message to the people about their sins and what would happen if they didn't repent. In Jeremiah chapter 6, we have Barak. Jeremiah had Barak to help him. And Jeremiah spoke the words. And what did Barak do? Well, he wrote them down on a big scroll. As he unrolled, he wrote. As Jeremiah spoke, Barak wrote. He wrote. And Barak had to go into the temple and to the people. And we have Barak doing that. I think this time Jeremiah was not allowed to go into the temple. So Barak went in. He had this message from God that Jeremiah told Barak about. And he told the people, I think he told the princes, and he read this, and they were startled about this message. They said, this needs to go to the king. So we have Barak going before the king, Jehoiakim. And there he read this scroll off. And there they spent all that time. They wrote these words down. And there he was, reading this message, what God wanted Jehoiakim to hear. And we have Jehoiakim listening to those cutting words of that message. And we have Jehoiakim whipping out his penknife. And as he would read, well, he would slice the message up and throw it into the fire. And after the message was finished, he burned the whole scroll. He thought, oh, I'll get rid of that. Well, what did Jeremiah do when he heard that? Well, he told Barak, let's write another message. That's what they done. They went, the Lord gave him Jeremiah another message. This time it was a little longer. And it was a little longer, and it was about what was going to happen to King Jehoiakim because of his evil ways and his evil punishments. So we have Jeremiah going forth and doing this work. And this is a little bit of what he had to face. We have another account in Jeremiah 38 when Zedekiah was king. Jeremiah's troubles did not end. Verse Jeremiah 38. We have the Chaldeans returning to besiege Jerusalem again. Jeremiah went among his people and warned them that the Chaldeans were coming. They were going to win. They were going to defeat. They were going to be captured. And how did the princes respond when they heard that? Well, they heard Jeremiah's message. We have King Zedekiah. Yes, he was kind of moved by Jeremiah's message, and yet he was kind of said enough to please Jeremiah, and yet he would turn around and please the princes and the rest of the people. But anyhow, we have in verse 6, they took Jeremiah because they were angry with him. They took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malachi the son of Amalek, which was the court of the prison, and let Jeremiah down with cords. And Jeremiah was there. There was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk into the mire. There was poor Jeremiah in the mire. There he was. And all Jeremiah was doing is warning them about the message, warning them about a message from God, what was going to happen to them. That was all Jeremiah was doing, and yet they hated Jeremiah with compassion, and they threw him in here. He would have died there. Jeremiah would have died if it had been for this kind Ethiopian that came out and saved Jeremiah's life. He got a bunch of men together, and they pulled him up out of that miry clay. We see a little glimpse of Jeremiah's life and how he was treated and how he went about doing his God work of being a prophet to bring God's message to the people. You ever think there was a time in Jeremiah's life that he felt so alone, felt so discouraged because all the hard work he had to do? Do you ever think that? Do you ever think that some days he wanted to question God and say, God, why did you call me to be a prophet? Because all the people are not listening anyway. They do not like my message. They don't want to listen to me. All they do is make fun of me. Here I am sitting in the miry dungeon, or here I am in this prison. Here I was, a special called out prophet. called by God for his work. And why don't the people listen to me? I'm sure there was days Jeremiah struggled with that and thought that through. But I believe that every painful experience that Jeremiah faced was making him a little better, a better vessel to serve God and for his glory. I believe that this morning. And now you could just go over to Lamentations 3 and you can get a little bit of a heartbeat of what Jeremiah was going here. I would like to read a few verses here. This is Jeremiah, Lamentations 3. I am the man, Jeremiah, who has seen the afflictions of the rod of his wrath. He had led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me he has turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin he hath made whole. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about, I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He hath bent his bow. He has sent me as a mark for an arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a diversion to all my people and their song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunkard with wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He has covered me with ashes. Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the woodworm and the gall, my soul hath them in remembrance, and it is humbled in me. Then I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. And you know, it could stop reading there, but it doesn't. In verse 21, or verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for man that he bear the yoke of his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth into dust. Therefore, so if so be there be hope, he giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him, to him that's full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. And we could keep on reading there. There we see a man in travail, wondering, almost questioning God, and yet he turns the pitch around and turns and says how great God is and his mercies, and he's there for us to give us the strength. I just had to share that a little bit about Jeremiah's life. There are many times, many experiences that come into your life that do not make sense. And there's things that happen in our lives that we just wonder, say, God, why? Why did this come? Why was this? Why? We ask why. But so many times, going through the experience, that God has taught you something very valuable in the process. It's like, again, being on that wheel and shaping and forming us like that lump of clay, making us stronger, making us, drawing us closer to him. In Romans 8:29, we have this picture forming us in the image of his own dear son, Jesus. You know, that's God's desire this morning for each one of us, that we would be formed and shaped into his image of his son. And that is God's desire for each one of us, that we would be in the image of his son. And so many times he allows painful experiences to come into our lives, so it draws us closer to him, that we can be a better and a more useful vessel for him. And that's how I believe it was for Jeremiah's life as well. Those painful experiences drew him closer to him. back to over to Jeremiah 18, when Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, the potter was making something by the wheel, and a vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make. And God was, like I said earlier, God was trying to tell Jeremiah how Judah or Israel as a nation had failed. He is saying that he will take clay and reform it and to make it something new and useful. Can we parallel that in our own lives? So many times we're on the wheel and we're spinning and God's molding and shaping us, but our vessel becomes marred. It does not turn out. Something happened to you. What do we do? You know, this morning we're not perfect people. We make mistakes. We make wrong choices. There are failures. We face trials, difficulties. What do we do in these times? Don't give up. Jeremiah didn't. He kept on. That's what inspires me about the life of Jeremiah. He just kept on. He just came with another message. And after a while, it was another word from the Lord. A time and a time, Jeremiah didn't give up. He was concerned for the people. He was concerned that the people would turn from their ways. And so this morning, you know, if we make a mistake, if our vessel gets marred, try again. Try again. Allow God to take us and to re-spin us again on the wheel. Let God reform us, reshape us. Make another vessel for Him. And then the worst thing we can do this morning is we give up. And I think so often the temptation's there just to give up and don't even feel like trying anymore. Is it worth it? And there's so many people today go that route. It's not worth living the Christian life. All these trying experiences that come into my life, they want to give up. Dear ones, this morning, let's not give up. Let's allow God to shape us and mold us into something that can be useful for Him. So when we fail this morning, God is saying that He will take clay and reform it and make it into something new and useful. That's what He does when we're faced with difficulties, even failures. He takes what we are, where we are, and shapes us into something useful for His glory and for His purposes. And so many times we can learn from our mistakes, and we can allow our mistakes or past failures to help us grow, to help us to become stronger, to not make those same mistakes again. Turning over to Ephesians chapter 2, some New Testament verses here. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, this morning we are God's own handiwork, recreated in Christ Jesus, that we may do these great works God has planned for us. You know, this morning, what a blessing to be created in Christ Jesus. When we allow Jesus Christ to come into our lives, and He can change us this morning, that's a blessing, and we can be recreated, reformed, and reshaped in the image of Him. That is so beautiful as we read this verse. And God has, as God hath adorned before ordained that we should walk in them. That is God's desire this morning, that we would walk in Him. Turning over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Talks about therefore purging himself. Verse 20. Let's start at verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, and peace, with them that are called on the Lord out of pure heart. Dear ones, this morning, just again, and we're inspired by these verses, Therefore, if a man would purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master use, prepared unto good work. It talks about, in verse 20, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold or of silver, but also wood and earth, some of honor and some of dishonor. That in verse 21 says that we would purge ourselves from these, and that we would be a vessel honored, sanctified, and meet and ready for the master's. You know, that's God's desire for each one of them, that we would take our vessels and sanctify them so they can be used by God and meet and be ready to be used. Be willing to serve. Be a Jeremiah this morning and be willing to step up to the plate and take our vessels and say, God, here we are. Let's use them for his honor and glory and be open to him. I trust that's my desire for my life this morning. I hope it's for your life as well, that we would be use our vessels for his honor and glory. Let's pray.